In the gospel reading today, we hear about St. John the Baptist preaching out in the desert of Judea and calling the people to repentance. And we're told that all these people from Jerusalem and from Judea and all around went out to listen to him. That might not mean a whole lot to us until we stop to recognize that where John the Baptist was preaching was down by the Dead Sea. It's the lowest point on the earth, about 2,000 feet below sea level. Where Jerusalem is up in the mountains, about 5,200 feet above sea level. And there is only one way to get there. It's the same path Jesus talked about, the Good Samaritan. There was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's the same path, very dangerous path. And it's about 20 miles. They didn't have any kind of transportation. So if they were going to go out and listen to John the Baptist, they had to walk 20 miles through a very dangerous area. And while getting there might not have been quite so bad, going back home, you have to climb 7,200 feet up a pretty steep mountain to be able to get there. So this was a challenge for the people. To be able to go out and listen to somebody that's dressed in camel's hair and eating grasshoppers and tell them that they had to repent. You can ask yourself if you would be willing to make such a journey. I suspect, given our situation in America right now, if John the Baptist was preaching right down here by the Mississippi River, less than a mile away, we wouldn't show up for that because it would be too inconvenient. If he was on TikTok or Facebook or something, maybe we'll watch him, but we don't want to have to inconvenience ourselves to be able to go and listen to somebody. Well, God's smarter than we are. So he just brings St. John the Baptist to us. So we just heard what he had to say. Are we willing to listen? Becomes the question. He's calling us to repentance. We've heard that many times before, and it tends to go in one ear and out the other. In Greek, it's metanoia. Literally means turn around, conversion, a change. Are we willing to change our lives? We have to ask ourselves why. I mean, there has to be a reason if I want to change my life. It's reasonable enough. And so we ask ourselves, what is it that St. John the Baptist is pointing to? He's pointing to two things. Number one, points to us, calls us to repentance. Number two, he points to somebody else who's coming after him. Somebody who is so great that John the Baptist isn't even worthy to carry his sandals. Now, this is the man that Jesus said is the greatest man born of woman. And he sees himself as unworthy even to carry this man's shoes. So who is he? Isn't that the question that he himself asked? Who do people say that I am? And then he turned to the apostles and said, and who do you say that I am? So that's the question that we really have to ask ourselves. If we're going to repent, why? It's because of the person of Jesus. And that's who we hear about in the first reading. It doesn't necessarily sound that way to us on the surface, because we hear about a shoot that is going to sprout from the stump of Jesse. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Jesse, remember, is the father of King David. And God promised to David that he would build a house for David. David, remember, wanted to build a temple. God wouldn't allow it because he had shed too much blood. But instead, he said, I'm going to build a house for you. That didn't mean a physical building. It meant that there was going to be a legacy, a king that was going to be seated upon the throne. And that's exactly what was promised, that one of his sons would be seated upon his throne. Now, on the natural level, the Jewish people would have looked at that and said, well, there's going to be this continuous line of kings. And for a number of years there was. In fact, there were 53 of them. Now, if you take away Solomon, or rather take away Saul, because he wasn't one of those in David's line, and then take away David, because the promise made to him, you got 51 other kings following. So when Isaiah wrote this, which is about 700 years before our Lord was born, there were still kings that were there on the throne of David, one after the next after the next. Now we also have to recognize that of those 51 kings, two of them were kind of decent. Most of the rest of them were really bad. And so the house of David, in this case, Jesse, became the laughingstock. It was a disaster. And of course, when the people went into exile, there wasn't a king any longer. The Romans were in charge now. There was no king that was on the throne. And it looked like God's promise wasn't fulfilled. But we have to again understand it as they would have been able to see it. Olive trees are abundant in the Holy Land. One of the interesting things is you cannot kill an olive tree. You can cut it down, and then new sprouts or new shoots are going to spring up. We see that in some of the trees around here. You know, they've got the stump, and you've got all this new growth coming up around it. That's what happens with the olive trees. They cut them down, a new one starts. You can't kill the things. And so that's what it's talking about. The house of Jesse is going to be cut down. And then God's going to raise up somebody else. That's exactly what we hear. Remember, if you look in St. Luke's Gospel, the Archangel Gabriel appears to our Blessed Lady, and among the things that he told her, he said that her son was going to be given the throne of David, his father, and that he would sit upon that throne forever. And so we see the fulfillment of God's promise, but not quite the way that it would have appeared on the natural level. But that's exactly what St. Paul is talking about then. Why did Jesus come? He came, he says, to be able to demonstrate God's truthfulness to the Jews. In other words, to recognize that every single thing that God said is truth. And every single thing that he has promised will be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled exactly the way that he said it's going to be fulfilled. Not necessarily the way that we interpret what he said, just as we can see with this particular prophecy, but everyone will be completely and perfectly fulfilled because it's the word of God. But it wasn't just to show the truthfulness to the Jews. It was to be able to allow the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy. Now, most of us are not descended from the Jews, which means we're Gentiles, people from the nations, anybody who wasn't a Jew. We didn't have part of the promises. We were not part of the people of God. And now the mercy of God has brought us into that. And so when we look at the prophecy again that Isaiah is speaking, we get to the end of the reading, and it says, on that day, the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles will seek out. His dwelling will be glorious. Isn't that exactly what we hear when Jesus is brought into the temple, and Simeon, the elderly man, calls him the light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel? He is the light to draw us to himself. This is why we want to repent. This is why we want to turn our lives around, because of who he is. Again, listen to how St. Paul talks about him. He calls him Christ Jesus. Christ, remember, means the anointed one, or put it into Hebrew, Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. But we also have to recognize who he is. Yes, he is the Messiah and the Redeemer and the Savior. He is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. So now we come back full circle again, and we ask ourselves, do I believe that? In just a minute, you're going to stand up, and in the creed, you're going to say, I believe. What do you believe? Are those just words that you're saying week after week because that's just what we do when we go to Mass? Or do I really believe that when I say, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, and so on? Do I honestly, really believe that? The answer to that is yes. Then now we have the answer to the question that St. John the Baptist proposes to us. Are we willing to repent? Do we have cause for repentance? The fact that God loves us so much that he would come to us. That's the reason for the repentance. And so St. John the Baptist is calling us to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, to prepare our hearts, to prepare our soul. So he points to Jesus, greater than himself, infinitely so, and he points to us to be able to say, repent, and to show the works of your repentance. And ask yourself, if he came in front of us today, we hear what John the Baptist was saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you brood of vipers, show some sign of your repentance. If he was standing in front of us today, what would he say? Hey, you guys are great. There's nobody better than you. You're the best. Or is he going to look at us and say, you brood of vipers. You give lip service to the Lord, but you don't serve him. You say that you believe, but you act like a bunch of pagans. Is that what he's going to say? Is he going to call us to repentance just as he did 2,000 years ago to those people? I suspect so. Because we're all sinners, and we all need to repent. And so that's the call that is given. That's the reason. I think about that. 2,000 years ago, people were willing to walk 20 miles in a very dangerous way to listen to somebody say, repent. Change your life. Turn around. Get your act together. And show some sign of your repentance. And they actually went out to listen to that. I suspect for most of us, if that was on YouTube, we'd turn it off. Like, I don't want to listen to this guy. So the Lord is calling us in our hearts to that repentance, to turn our lives around, to make those changes. So on a practical level, if you haven't been to confession for a while, please get there. Get your sins forgiven. Get your soul purified. Prepare your heart for the coming of the Lord. That's the beauty of the confessional. Confess your sins and God literally removes them from your soul. He destroys them. They do not exist any longer. So a couple of minutes of a little bit of humility to say, bless me, Father, I've sinned. Here's what I did. And in return, God cleans up your soul. You're prepared to receive the Lord. That's what he's doing for us. That's why the church gives us these readings today, to be able to say, who is this that we're talking about? There's someone greater. The people of old understood who this was. Mentioned it before, but it's always a point that we need to be reminded of. The Hebrew word for shoot is natzer. There was a little group of people who looked at all of the prophecies of what God had said regarding the Messiah. And they said, you know, if what God is saying is true, and it is, then the Messiah has to be born from this group of people. And so they started a town this little group of people who thought the Messiah would come from one of their number. And they called that town not Zeret, Nazareth. They were thought to be a bunch of nuts. These weirdos think that the Messiah is going to come from one of them. Guess what? He did. Because God's word is true. They weren't a bunch of weirdos. But you see, that's where the problem is. The Jewish people knew the prophecies. They knew the word of God. And they disregarded them. Do we do the same? We know the word of God. We know everything that has been promised. Does it make much difference to us? Do we really care? That's why St. John the Baptist is calling us to repentance, to listen to the word of God, to recognize it is absolute truth, and it will all be fulfilled in the world and in each one of our lives. And if that's the case, then the call is for us to repent, to prepare our hearts to be able to receive the Lord, the shoot, the Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is the Son of God and the Savior of our souls.